Here's a quick word from our football educational partners over at the Scouting Academy.
Listen, we've said it all the time. If you love the analysis and you're passionate about football, then you really need to check out the Scouting Academy. Whether you're a football coach, aspiring writer, or even aspiring football agent, the Scouting Academy is really a perfect place for you to learn and develop your skills as an analyst. With curriculum that spans over 375 years of coaching and personnel experience, the Scouting Academy offers you a 16-week online course that you can tailor and build to meet your needs and your interests. Whether you're learning about wide receivers or defensive linemen, you can make the experience what you want it to be. Listen, I've said it to you on this podcast many times. I've spent my own money, my own time, and time away from my friends and family because I am just this passionate about this game. And the Scouting Academy is the place where I really feel like I've learned the most I've ever learned about the game of football. It's made me a better analyst. It's made me a better person in terms of the coaching I do on the field. I can't say enough great things about it. If you have any questions about the Scouting Academy, please don't hesitate to reach out to Dan Hatman on Twitter or reach out to the Scouting Academy online via email. I'm open to all questions as well. Heck, I'm still even a student there myself. Please don't hesitate to reach out. I really think that once you learn all the tools and gain the knowledge that they have to offer, I really think you're going to be absolutely excited about the game of football again.
This is the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast.
This is where it all counts. This is why we're here. This is why each one of us are here.
And now, here's your host.
Welcome back to another edition of the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast. I am Paul Perticchese, and thank you for joining us. If you have been following along, we have been putting out these mini podcasts, the Summer Stock Report series, where I share my thoughts, takes, feelings on every relevant offensive skill player for every single team in each division. Been telling you who I'd be buying, selling, holding, and just my general takes on these players as training camps have opened up throughout the NFL. We are just about 2 days as of this recording away from the Hall of Fame game, and football season is officially back. Last week, I covered the NFC and AFC East and the NFC and AFC North. Earlier this week, I covered the NFC South and then the AFC South. This evening, I'll be covering the NFC West, and then we'll finish this series off by covering the AFC West tomorrow. So let's get right into this, and let's start with the Arizona Cardinals. At the quarterback position, obviously, they went out and signed Sam Bradford as a veteran stopgap, you know, about 1 year, $20 million. Bradford is a guy who I thought they maybe thought was going to have to play the whole year because they didn't have another option. And then they were able to get Josh Rosen, fell into their laps as a guy who I couldn't believe was still there when the Cardinals were able to trade up to like that 10th spot, get Josh Rosen. I think he had the highest floor of any of the quarterbacks in a rookie draft setting. I think maybe he still should be taken after Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson, who I think have a little bit more upside. But I thought Rosen was the most natural thrower. I think he's going to be really good there. I think he's going to probably take that job sooner rather than later because, you know, these teams want to get their young quarterbacks in there. I do think Sam Bradford's a pretty solid quarterback, though, when he's healthy. We saw week one of last year. We saw parts the year before as well. Bradford, very accurate, has enough arm strength to make all the throws, smart quarterback, maybe has never lived up to the potential of being the first pick overall, but a lot of that had to do with some injuries as well. Bradford's a guy the NFL still seems to be very high on. I mean, look at the price tag the Vikings paid a couple years for him. You know, look at the price that Arizona just paid, even though it's only a one-year deal. But unless he looks really good in preseason and they win a couple games early in the year and he's looking really good in them, I don't see a scenario where Josh Rosen's not the starter at some point this year, probably in the first half of the year as well. And I wouldn't even be stunned if he looks good in training camp and preseason if Rosen could win the job out of the gate. So Bradford's more of a, you know, a QB2 super flex type guy, have on your roster, you know, maybe in daily, play him a couple spots here or there if he's got a good matchup early in the year and he's relatively inexpensive. If we look at the running back position, obviously, it's David Johnson back from injury. Obviously, one of the top few picks, top five picks in redraft leagues, probably in the top five, top six, at the running back position in dynasty leagues as well. You know, a guy who could get 1,000 yards receiving, 1,200 yards rushing, you know, 15 to 20 touchdown upside. I mean, we've seen this out of him, you know, one of the top running backs. I would not be looking to move him. I would not be worried about the injury. You know, it was not a, you know, a lower body injury. So I'd be fine with David Johnson. In the draft, they went out and got Chase Edmonds, a player I really liked out of Fordham. He's a guy who I compared a little bit to Brian Westbrook in the pre-draft process. So he's a guy who I think could be intriguing there as a guy who, you know, plays like a Giovanni Bernard type role, a guy who's going to see some passes, see some change of pace work. I don't think he has a ton of fantasy value because David Johnson, I think, is going to re-sign there. So he's going to be the guy for the next few years. So Chase Edmonds is really a handcuff to David Johnson. You know, a guy who can do some stuff in the backfield, catch some passes. You know, he's a guy that I like his skill set. I think he's worth probably a late third or fourth round rookie pick, but I just don't see how he becomes fantasy relevant over the next couple of years with David Johnson there. David Johnson sees too much work in the receiving game to think that he's going to lose a lot of it to Chase Edmonds. So that's kind of why I like the player a lot. I just don't see a scenario where he's fantasy viable, consistent, for team anytime in the near future. So unless you have David Johnson, he might be a guy you either to stash away 3 or 4 years or take a pass on and try to get him down the line if you like his talent. At the wide receiver position, they have Larry Fitzgerald still, just keeps producing, you know, top 15, top 18 type stats. I think he'll be pretty solid again this year. I think in a redraft league, he presents good value. You know, in that fourth, fifth round, I probably would take a guy with higher upside in like the third round. For me, he's probably more of a fifth round guy, so I might not get him. But I think he's rock solid. You know what you're getting in him in dynasty leagues. You could probably buy him really cheap. We know how it is in dynasty leagues. You know, veterans are really undervalued at times. If you need a wide receiver for this year, I think Larry Fitzgerald's a guy you probably could have on the cheap right now. And, you know, and he could get, like you said, top 15 type wide receiver stats this year. After him, besides, you know, rookie Christian Kirk, who they took in the second round, I love Christian Kirk, the player. My one issue this year is I think he's more of a slot guy. So if they're going to play him alongside Larry Fitzgerald, Fitzgerald's not moving to the outside, not at his age and, you know, the production he's had on the inside. So that means Kirk's really going to be playing out of position unless they end up going like four wide and two guys are kind of pushed inside there. So while I like Kirk, the player, I think he's got 90 catch upside as soon as next year when Larry Fitzgerald leaves. I think this year is probably going to be a little bit inconsistent and might not really see him maximize his ability and his strengths because I just don't think his natural position is on the outside. I think he can play it a little bit, but I think he's best from the inside. You know, kind of like a guy like Doug Baldwin who could play on the outside, but I think he's at his best when he's on the inside. I think Christian Kirk's similar in that regards, you know, very different player than a guy like Doug Baldwin. You know, Christian Kirk, very quick. Gets in and out of his breaks very fast. I thought he was one of the better route runners in this class. Impact on in the return game as well. So he's a great pick real life. I just think this year in fantasy, because Fitzgerald's still there, you know, his potential might be a little bit capped playing on the outside. After that, Chad Williams, third round pick last year, you know, height, weight, speed guy, came from a lower level college. Got to see if he could develop here. I'll be watching him closely in training camp. They signed Bryce Butler, the vertical speedster from Dallas. He's also going to compete with J.J. Nelson to be that guy in this role. And then Greg Little, you know, blast from the past, they said is competing for, you know, a top four wide receiver spot as well there. So we'll see how he looks in camp. And then the tight end position, they drafted Ricky Seals-Jones. Well, I should say they picked him up last year as an undrafted free agent. Last year, he had some moments. He looked really solid. I think he's a guy that's intriguing that, you know, he had some a little bit off the field issue earlier this offseason, but I don't think it's going to be anything that's going to warrant suspension. So I'm kind of intrigued by him. They don't have a lot of, you know, solidified pass catchers besides David Johnson's going to get his and Fitzgerald's going to get his. That Seals-Jones, I think, could become a intriguing tight end too with some upside. So he'd be a guy if you're drafting a second tight end, if you're streaming, keep Ricky Seals-Jones on your radar. If you're playing the Dynasty League, I think he's a great tight end three if you could potentially get him as that and kind of take a wait-and-see approach. If you have to start two of them, I would not want him starting from the get-go, but he'd be a guy who I think could develop into that this year if he gets the snaps and the targets that I expect him to. So let's take this over to the Los Angeles Rams. Obviously, at the quarterback position, Jared Goff. After his horrible rookie year, he bounced back and had a really good year last year. I think he's in for a little bit of regression, though, in fantasy. I think he's more of a guy who's not a QB1 right now with the volume that he's going to see in the pass game. I think he's more of a, you know, quarterback two, you know, in that 15 to 19 range. So Goff's a guy who I might be looking to sell in a dynasty league. I think last year might have been his most efficient year. So if someone's valuing him as like a top 10 guy moving forward, and I'm not saying a lot of people are, but if you find somebody who's willing to pay that cost, I might be willing to move Goff. But he's attached to a really good offense, a great offensive-minded head coach. So he's going to have some spike weeks. I just don't think the workload that Todd Gurley gets limits Jared Goff's upside. And I like to have a guy who I think has a little bit more upside in the passing game to throw for 300 yards, three touchdown type games. I just don't see that being a guy who could do that regularly. At the running back position, Todd Gurley, there's not much to say. Probably the first pick in all redraft leagues, if not the first, the second behind Le'Veon Bell. At this point, probably one of the top, probably the top running back in all of Dynasty in terms of running backs, and in the mix with, you know, Odell Beckham and DeAndre Hopkins as the number one overall valuable asset in Dynasty leagues. After him, not really much to discuss except John Kelly, a rookie out of Tennessee who they took on the third day of this past draft. I really like the skill set coming out of Tennessee, his receiving ability, his contact balance, his aggression. He runs like he's Marshawn Lynch, even though he's much smaller than him. If Todd Gurley was to ever go down, I think John Kelly is an intriguing play. I think he could work his way to be the main backup there. So if you own Todd Gurley, I'd want to get John Kelly on any of my rosters as a handcuff. Deep dynasty leagues, kind of stash him away, see what happens there down the line. I mean, obviously Gurley's going to be there, so it's very similar to Chase Edmonds that we're talking years and years away unless there's an injury before Kelly gets an opportunity. But I do like the talent and the skill set. At the wide receiver position, while they lost Sammy Watkins in free agency, they went out and traded a first-round pick for Brandon Cooks. They signed him to a big-money extension. I know people are way down on Brandon Cooks. I'm not buying it. This is a guy who consistently gets over 1,000 yards. He's produced in New Orleans. He's produced in New England. I know he's had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks there, but they didn't give up a first-round pick and sign him to a big-money extension just for him to run vertical clear-out routes like they mostly used Sammy Watkins last year. I know that's the thing that has people concerned. I'm not. I think Brandon Cooks is a low-end wide receiver two with upside to be much higher than that, but that's where I would feel comfortable drafting him, in that 18 to 20 range, 18 to 21 range. Some people have them higher, some people have them a lot lower. In Dynasty, I'd still be willing to give up a first-round rookie pick. In one of my leagues, I gave up a first-round rookie pick. I gave up the last pick in the first round in a 14-team league, and I got Brandon Cooks, and I love that trade. It was, I needed a wide receiver. If guys who would have been there would probably, I think it was Christian Kirk, Anthony Miller, guys like that. Brandon Cooks for the foreseeable future has more upside than those guys. And I think he's going to be fed targets there. Maybe he's not a 120 guy, but I think he's going to see 105 targets or something. And if he catches, you know, 80 passes, he's going to put up a wide receiver two stats because it's a big play threat. Behind him, obviously, Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, two guys who produce really good fantasy stats last year. Robert Woods was on his way to producing a great season. Injury curtailed that a little bit, but really solid guy. I think he's a probably undervalued wide receiver 3/4 in fantasy this year. I think Cooper Kupp is probably a wide receiver 3 in PPR formats as well. So I get they have a lot of guys, you know, but I think between Brandon Cooks being a little bit more efficient with his targets and more of a big play threat, I still think all three of them could be fantasy viable. I think on different varying levels, you know, maybe a wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3, and wide receiver 4 when the dust settles at the end of the year. So I think they all could have their weeks, all could have their moments. And at the end of the year, I think they'll all get the stats to warrant, you know, being a, you know, top 24, top 36, you know, top 40, you know, wide receivers, you know, in terms of where they're being drafted. At the tight end position, Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett, two young players. Gerald Everett was an early second-round pick in last year's 2017 NFL draft. Tyler Higbee the year before. I think both of those guys have a lot of upside. I think Gerald Everett, you know, was comped a lot to Jordan Reed, and I thought that made sense. And, you know, I thought he was going to have a bigger role last year. Maybe that will, you know, materialize this year. The reports have been glowing out of camp, but also Tyler Higbee, he's getting really positive reports glowing out of camp. And if he didn't have a little bit of an off-field issue prior to the draft, he probably would have went higher the year before that. So they got two talented guys there at the tight end position. Higbee a little bit more of a better blocker than Everett. Everett more of just that move tight end, but both of them could be impacts in the receiving game. But when you combine that with the three wide receivers I previously discussed and with Todd Gurley, and that they're still going to be a very run-heavy offense to maximize Gurley's skill set, You just wonder if there's enough targets to make those either of those tight ends tight end twos this year, or they're more just kind of waited out stashes, which is what I kind of feel right now in a dynasty league, than guys who are playable even in two tight end leagues at the moment. If we take this over to the Seattle Seahawks, I think right now on paper they have one of the worst talented offensive rosters in terms of their skill players in the league. Obviously at the quarterback position, they have Russell Wilson, you know, one of the top dynasty quarterbacks available, you know, right up there near the top, you know, with Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson probably in that mix. You know, in redraft leagues, I think I would probably take Wilson third after, you know, maybe third or fourth after, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and maybe Drew Brees, who I think's in for a little bit of a bounce back year. But Wilson's obviously, you know, in the top four or five in redraft, same thing in dynasty as well. He's going to be asked to do a lot this year because their offensive line is really bad, and I still have questions on their run game. You know, they have Rashard Penny, who they took in the first round, surprisingly, this past draft. They have Chris Carson, you know, from last year's draft, and they have CJ Procise. Procise has been unable to stay healthy so far, and reports are that he's been healthy and looked pretty good. He might have a third down role. Chris Carson right now is running with the ones, runs very hard, aggressive, between the tackles type guy. And then they drafted Rashard Penny in the first round this year, who people want to really put in there for three down workload. I don't think it's going to happen. They're already talking up Procise in terms of receiving role, and Carson was pretty solid, and they like Carson. I like Penny as a player, but I didn't think he was a first-round pick. I had some questions about his overall upside. For me, he was, like, I think number seven in my pre-draft rankings. I think he struggles in pass protection. Right now, there's been some glowing reports, you know, in training camp. I'm not buying that. He was really poor in that. I don't think, you know, I think when the, you know, the when the they start playing for real, I don't think all of a sudden he's going to be great in pass protection. I don't think he's going to be on the field much in those downs. I think he's a very average to serviceable running back in terms of catching out of the backfield. So I think he's going to be squarely in the mix. You don't invest a pick that early in round one and him not be in the mix. So I do think he's going to be in the mix, but I just think that, you know, people are maybe drafting him as a potential workhorse this year, like a Darius Geis, you know, in terms of early downs, you know, and some people even think Penny higher because he might get more receiving work this year. I'm not sure I believe that. I think Penny might even been going a tad too high in dynasty rookie drafts as well. He's a little bit more in that, you know, 5 to 8 mix for me, and I think other people had him in their top 4 and maybe even as high as 2 or 3. I'm not that high. I think there's a lot of questions on this offense as a whole, on the offensive line, you know, and I have some questions on Penny's actual skill set as well, considering the gaping holes that he sometimes had at San Diego State. In terms of the receiving on the team, obviously Doug Baldwin is their only lockdown fantasy type guy, but he just came up with a knee injury. So we're going to have to follow those reports closely. They say a few weeks. Hopefully he's out there by, you know, the third or fourth week of the preseason. And, you know, by the time you're drafting late in August, it's not an issue, but you got to keep an eye on it. I think he's in for a big, big year. I think he's going to potentially have a shot at one of his best seasons. I think he's going to be fed targets this year. And I think he's undervalued. I think he's undervalued in dynasty. I'd go get him. I don't think he's a guy that is going to, I think he's going to age well in terms of how he wins on the field. So he's like 29 years old. I think he has a good 3 years of being a low end wide receiver one, high end wide receiver two. And then he could even, you know, move down from that and still be serviceable as, you know, potential, you know, wide receiver three, let's say, in a couple of years. So I think Bolin's got a lot of good years left in him. I think he's going to be fed targets if he's healthy this year. After him, Tyler Lockett's the only intriguing name in terms of a guy that maybe you take the back end of your redraft leagues, you try to get on your roster in dynasty, best ball. Listen, Tyler Lockett, I've been a big fan of him since he came out, especially after his rookie year. I was buying him in every dynasty leagues. It just doesn't seem like Seattle wants to make him a huge part of the offense. Now, maybe now by default, he'll have to be. So that'll be intriguing. I think he's got good separation quickness. I think he can take it off the top and, you know, really loosen up defenses with his vertical speed. Yeah. See, the thing with Lockett is I think he's a guy who would be best in that, you know, T.Y. Hilton range of working inside in the slot, but also getting vertical. But Baldwin's so good in the slot that Lockett's mostly used as an outside wide receiver. And I think sometimes that's, you know, curtailed his upside a little bit. But he's a guy that is a great buy right now because he could see a lot of targets this year. He could be had relatively on the cheap in dynasty and redraft settings, and he could, you know, pay dividends for you. After that, I mean, Brandon Marshall, I don't even know if he's going to make the roster as a veteran. Jerron Brown, they brought over from Arizona. Amara Darboe, I mean, all of these guys are in the mix, and some of these guys are going to, one of these guys is going to materialize to a wide receiver 3, and if Doug Baldwin was hurt, maybe even a wide receiver 2 on their depth chart if they don't go out and sign anyone, you know, but none of those are intriguing in fantasy. This would have been an ideal landing spot for Dez Bryant. They went out and took Brandon Marshall instead. Doesn't make a lot of sense because I think Dez Bryant would have stepped right in there, you know, and been a guy that could have made an impact on this roster, and then would have moved Lockett to be their third wide receiver. Maybe they still look at that down the line if Baldwin's injury is more serious than it seems to be, or if Brandon Marshall struggles in training camp, maybe they call up Dez Bryant. And the tight end position, absolutely nothing of value in terms of fantasy. Ed Dixon, Nick Vinette, Will Dissly, the rookie. None of those guys, in my opinion, are even tight end 2s. Now, Russell Wilson did often utilize the tight end, so keep a close eye on these guys. I know a guy that Simeon Bloom has been talking about a little bit on Twitter is Tyrone Swoops, formerly a quarterback at Texas, converted to a tight end now. He's a guy that's a little intriguing there to keep an eye on, you know, maybe in the deepest of dynasty leagues as a stash or just kind of watching preseason games and see how he does. And then to finish out the division, the San Francisco 49ers, obviously Jimmy Garoppolo, a quarterback. I think he's probably in that 8-12 mix for redraft leagues this year. His value is a little bit higher than that, though, I think sometimes. So I don't know if I'll end up getting a guy like him. I probably just wait and get a guy like Stafford or Ryan, who I've been talking about in that territory, and then a guy with a little bit more upside. In dynasty leagues, I think the sky is pretty high for Garoppolo. If somebody wanted to say they had him in that, you know, 5-8 range, I'd understand that. And then at the running back position, they went out and gave Jerick McKinnon big time money in free agency. So they're going to, I think, force feed him targets. So it's going to be interesting to see how much in the rush game he gets. But I do think that he will be a guy that sees, you know, 16, 17 touches a week in terms of, you know, rushes, receptions. I think they didn't bring him over here. Kyle Shanahan picked him out to be a part of their offense. I think he wants him to be a part of that offense, and I think he's going to be a focal point of that offense. He's never been a guy who's been a great in-between-the-tackles runner and is really great on a lot of touches. So I think people who maybe want to get him like 18 rushes a game are going to be a little disappointed. I think he might be like a 12-rush kind of guy, you know, and then 5, you know, 6 receptions a game. And I think that can be great, and he can produce really good, viable, you know, RB2 fantasy stats for that in PPR leagues. And I think that's where he should be going. I think some people might think he has an RB1 year. I think that would mean he has to catch about 90 passes to get there. After him, Matt Breida and Joe Williams, 2 rookies from last year. Joe Williams was getting a lot of hype after last year's draft and then in preseason, but it was Matt Breida who ended up materializing and playing. Joe Williams suffered a little bit of an injury and then never was to be heard from again. It'd be interesting. Joe Williams got explosive bursts and acceleration and overall speed. Matt Breida has good speed too, a little bit more agile and quick. It'll be interesting to see if either of those guys become fantasy relevant. I think Breida will be the one that gets the opportunity first, but I do am a fan of Joe Williams, so it'll be intriguing to see if he gets an opportunity in preseason, how he looks, if he's a guy. I mean, he's a guy that Kyle Shanahan once time pounded the table for. He wanted the 49ers to draft him, and he got him put back on their draft board and was taken. At the wide receiver position, you got the veterans in Pierre Garçon, He's a guy who missed a lot of time last year due to injury. I think he's going to be fed a lot of targets this year. So I think he's a good value this year, probably as a wide receiver 3 in redraft leagues. A guy maybe you can get a little bit on the cheap due to age and dynasty leagues, but I think he's been undervalued a little bit, and I think he can be a wide receiver 2 if he gets fed the targets. Obviously, Marquise Goodwin looked really good last year in stretches, especially down the stretch with Jimmy Garoppolo. He's a guy who showed he could be more than just a vertical threat. So Goodwin is a guy who, I think, again, in that wide receiver 3-4 mix is where I'd be comfortable taking Goodwin. I'd rather have Garcon on my roster, so I think that's pushed Goodwin down a little bit. But if you believe in things like chemistry and what they showed last year, maybe Goodwin is a little bit undervalued right now. After that, Trent Taylor, really productive slot wide receiver last year, so we'll see if he can continue to build off of that. I think my biggest concern with him is that they went out and signed drafted Dante Pettis early in the second round. I think they have big plans for him. I think Pettis can play, the flanker, the X, the slot position. But I think right now, in terms of this year, his role might be best in the slot, and I think that might limit how many snaps Trent Taylor gets. I don't think they're going to take off Pierre Garcon or Marquise Goodwin too often. I think they like Pettis' versatility, and eventually he could kick outside to either of those. But I'm not sure this year Taylor's going to see enough workload to be fantasy viable. I don't think Dante Pettis is going to see enough to be too fantasy viable either. I think he'll have some big weeks here or there. I'd put him on my roster in the back of a redraft or a best ball just to kind of see. But I think he's a guy that should be going in the mid to late part of any round 2 rookie draft right now. And I think by next year, you could have a much bigger role in that offense. But I'm not sure if the 49ers have their true number 1 yet on the roster. I could see them getting somebody next year in the offseason, in the draft, to be that bona fide number 1 guy to kind of build and grow with Jimmy Garoppolo as well. In the tight end position, they have George Kittle and Garrett Selleck. Garrett Selleck was just like a backup. If George Kittle was to go down, I could see him having, some tight end 2 weeks. But George Kittle's a guy really intriguing. Wasn't a guy that was asked to catch a lot of passes at Iowa, but tested really well athletically. Really good blocker, so he's on the field all game, basically. Showed some receiving ability last year. He's an intriguing guy who, if you're waiting on tight ends, I love getting a guy like Garrett Selleck, Give me him and Jack Doyle or something along those lines, and I think I'll get solid tight end production the whole year. So I like him in that 9 to 12 range, and you might even be able to get him a little bit later than that based on some early ADP and stuff like that. In Dynasty, his value is probably a little bit higher than that. As a young tight end, I'd put his value a little bit above that as well. I do think he's a guy who could be a big part of their offense and kind of be in there for the long haul with Garoppolo as the quarterback. I like Kittle's skill set. He showed me a lot last year in terms of his receiving ability. I did not really believe he had when I watched him at Iowa. So there it is, the NFC West. My thoughts on every relevant skill position. Hopefully you're enjoying these. We got one more, and then we're going to turn our attention basically to the college football season. Our preview shows, Matt and I are almost finished wrapping up watching all of our players for the 2019 Scouting Notebook. The premium notebooks will be out at the end of August. We will start our positional preview shows next week, and we are really looking forward to that. So on behalf of our sound and tech engineer, David Nakano, and myself, thank you for joining us, and we look forward next time taking you from Saturday to Sunday.